My name is Eric Vail, and I'm an elder here at Gates Presbyterian Church, and I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning, whether you've been here a few Sundays, you've been here for many Sundays, and this is your regular church home. We're so thankful and glad that you're all here. There's a wealth of information about our church and all the activities in the bulletin you have, in our Harbinger newsletter, which is an extra copy, is out on the news rack, and also you can go to our website, which has a wealth of information as well. During the time of offering this morning, if you pass the hospitality register, which is the little notebook in the pews, sign your name, let us know who you are, and as you pass it back, if there's somebody you don't know, take a look, see who their name is or what their name is, and introduce yourself at some point during worship or after worship, because that's how we get to know each other around here. If you have any questions after worship, Elder Bruce Taylor would normally be here, but Bruce has got to do an Uber ride for his son at the airport. So I will be at the communion table after worship today to receive any comments or questions that you might have. And also after worship this morning, down to the fellowship hall, which is out the door to the left and at the end of the hallway, our deacons will have coffee and punch and some treats to enjoy during a time of fellowship and conversation. So please join us after worship for that. And this morning we have a few announcements. And Al, you want to start?
Well, it's October, and it's another month that we serve a St. Joseph's meal. We do this four times a year, and this is the third. Actually, we snuck an extra one in this summer, so we're going to do it five times this year. But the sign-up sheet is on the kiosk, and I'm looking it over. There's a lot of opportunities for you to make donations of food or your time on serving the meal on Saturday. The way it usually works is I look down the sign-up sheet for food on Friday, and what we didn't get donated, I go out and buy with some money that people had given me along the way on Friday and fill it in so that we always have enough food. But the thing I can't do much about is having enough bodies there to help us serve the meal. It really takes about 8 to 10 people to serve the meal properly to our guests at St. Joseph's. So if you can take some time out from 10 until about 1, maybe 1:30 on Saturday, it would be a big help. So sign up on the kiosk, please. Thanks.
Hi, just a brief reminder about our meeting next Sunday right here after worship with Rob Kane, who will give us an update on Pathstone's progress, and with Cassie Wynn from YW, who will give us information on their services and answer your questions. See you then. Thanks.
There's a note about stewardship. Is somebody going to do with stewardship? Or? Okay, thank you. Any other announcements this morning? All right, well, it is my pleasure to welcome back one of our favorite guest preachers, Sister Barbara Moore. Sister Barbara, when you walk in the door, the place just lights up, and people just gather to say hello to you, and you the same, so thank you. Sister Barbara, of course, has been here before, and we are very glad and thankful to have you back to worship with us and lead worship as well. And I'd also like to, on behalf of our church family, extend our sincere condolences to you and your family. Sister Barbara recently lost her sister, Joan, so please know that our church family is, your family is in our church family's thoughts and prayers. So, with that, let us pause now as we prepare our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our entire beings to worship our great God together. Thank you.
You are all welcome to stand as you are able and join us in the call to worship, please. For those lives broken by distress,
may God heal and restore you.
For those whose lives are broken by fear, for those whose lives are broken by anger,
may God heal and restore you.
For those whose lives are broken by pain,
may God heal and restore you.
For those whose lives are broken by illness,
may God heal and restore you.
For those whose lives are broken by sin, let us now join in the praise of the God who heals the broken. Please join me in the prayer of confession. O God of hope and healing, we confess that our lives are often marked by brokenness and sin. We turn to you in the hope that your hand will pass over us and we will be healed. Yet in our desire for salvation, we prefer healing that comes in our own way and on our own terms. When you do not respond according to our expectations, we turn away in anger and disappointment. Have mercy on us when we grow impatient with your timing, desiring our own. Grant us the humility to receive the words of the humble and lowly. Open our ears to the counsel of the servants you send us, so that we may be guided into your path of healing. Please take a moment for your silent prayers of confession. Hear this good news and see the grace of God. You are forgiven. You are free to go and live in the light of love.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Okay, have a seat. Good morning. We have a very special performance for you this morning by a couple of our middle schoolers. The skit you will watch is part of our generosity program, which is a new and more personal and fun approach to stewardship, or giving. After church today, we are inviting the entire congregation to the fellowship hall to pick up some candy in their dessert first packets, which will include stories from members of the congregation. Have a seat. About reasons why they give their time, talents, and money to the church. The packets will also include giving intention cards. You will fill these cards out with your families and show how what you intend to give back to God and bring them back on November 10th. And that is Celebration Sunday. We will actually have dessert first before church. So November 10th, dessert first before church. Some of you might be wondering what on earth I am talking about. What is she even saying? Has anybody ever put money into the offering plate during worship or handed money in during Sunday school? Anyone? Oh, we got a hand. That's good. Okay. What about putting money in the fish banks last year? Does anyone remember those? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, you did. Okay, but why do we do that? Why do we do that? Any ideas? No? Okay, well, that's why I have two helpers here. I have Evelyn and Graham, and they're going to do a skit for you now so you can learn a little bit more about what I'm even talking about. Evelyn and Graham, take it away.
Yum, yum. I just love bananas. I could eat bananas all day long.
Hi, Willie.
Oh, hi, Betsy. Are you ready to go to Sunday school?
Sure am. I've been enjoying our lessons this month.
Yeah, it's been a fun class.
I see you're having a late breakfast.
Yep, I just finished. I love bananas.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I guess I don't need this anymore.
Hey, what are you doing?
What?
You can't throw a banana peel on the ground.
Why not?
'Cause you're littering.
So?
It's not nice to be a litter bug, Willie. And besides, someone might come along and step on your banana peel and trip and get hurt or something.
That only happens in cartoons.
No, it doesn't. Now you go pick up that banana peel and dispose of it.
Oh, okay. Now, where is that banana peel? Here, banana peel. Here, banana peel. Where are you, banana peel? I can't find it.
Well, it has to be here somewhere.
I know. But I don't see it anywhere. The grass is too tall. Tell you what I'll do.
What?
After Sunday school, I'll come back and look for the banana peel, then I'll throw it away. Okay?
Promise?
Yeah, I promise. Now, are you ready to go to class?
Almost. I need to run home for a minute first.
Run back home? How come you gotta run back home?
My allowance. I forgot to bring it with me, and I wanted to put some of it in the offering plate this morning.
How come?
Well, 'cause I want to, that's all.
Not me. I've been saving up for a new baseball glove. I need all the money I can get.
Shame on you, Willie. Don't you know that you're supposed to give back to God a portion of what he's given you?
But if God gives me something, why would he want some of it back?
Well, actually, God does that for us.
Huh?
You see, when we give back to God, it helps remind us that what we have comes from him in the first place. Get it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Truth is, everything we have belongs to God. The Bible says the earth and the fullness there in God is in God. He just sort of lets us borrow it for a while.
So then, when we give back to God, that's the offering that gets collected each week at church, right?
Yep, sure is. You and I are part of God's church, and pledging is a part of that, much like praying and worshiping are. It's important that to God that we take care of the needs of our church. Giving back to God helps us do it. Just think of all the wonderful things that can be accomplished when we all give to the Lord's work.
What kind of things?
Oh, you know, hungry people can be fed, homeless people can be given shelter. Sometimes God uses our money to send people from our own church out into the world, like the high schoolers going to Jamaica to serve and build relationships with people from other countries.
Now, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. We are so blessed, Willie. You know, God never stops giving to us. In fact, God has given us something right now.
Right now? Like what?
Oh, you know, little insignificant things like the air we breathe. Or about the sun in the sky, so we can see and be warm.
Yeah, I get your point.
And those are just a few of the reasons why we should give back to God. Are you convinced yet?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I sure have been blessed all right. So, how much of my allowance do I have to give?
You don't have to give anything. Just follow your heart. The Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians that each person should give what they have decided in their hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
You're right, Betsy. God has given me so much. In my heart, I know that giving some back is the right thing to do. I want to use part of my allowance to help other people know about Jesus, too. That's a lot more important than some old baseball glove.
Oh, that's wonderful, Willie. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks. I'm going to run home right now and get my allowance so I can give an offering, too.
Great. You run on to your home, and I'll run to mine, and we can meet back here in 5 minutes.
Sounds great. I'll race you. 1, 2, 3, go!
Wait, I'm not ready! Willie, are you all right?
Ouch.
Are you okay? What happened?
Oh, I think I found my banana peel.
No, Willie.
Thank you so much for acting this morning, Evelyn and Graham. Another round of applause for our... All right, and before we go to our classes, let's end with a prayer. Dear God, we love you, and we know you love us. Everything we have is a gift from you. Thank you for playtime and for our growing bodies. Thank you for our laughter and joy. Help us to give some of our time and some of our money back to you. When we think of giving something away to someone who needs it, help us to give two and not just one. Amen. Please go to your classes.
Our first reading this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will accept nothing." He urged him to accept, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let 2 mule loads of earth be given to your servant, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god except the Lord."
Thank you. Our gospel this morning is from the 17th chapter of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thank you so much for your kind words. I'd be less than honest if I didn't say this has been a very difficult week. But being here is really part of the healing process, and I thank you. I'm reading a good book entitled Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus. The book shares a deeper insight into the learning process in Jesus' day and context. And I discovered in the book that learning from the rabbis happened not just by lectures and teaching, but it happened by living with and accompanying the rabbi. Learning from not only what they said, but as these authors pointed out, learning not only what the rabbi said, but what they did, and their reactions to everyday life. Now, those of us here who were or are teachers know this model of teaching differs, doesn't it, from our style? Wouldn't it be hard for us to have several classrooms of 20 or more following us daily? But in Jesus' day, boys and girls learned from hands-on experience, imitating someone whose skills they wanted to acquire. Jesus, we're told in this morning's gospel, was continuing his journey to Jerusalem and either took the risk or maybe took a shortcut through Samaria and Galilee. He then actually entered a village. Was it a foreign village in Samaria or a culturally friendly one in Galilee? We don't know. We did learn, however, that a mixed community of lepers met him and asked for his help. These opening lines of the gospel have much to teach us, as well as Jesus' disciples. They were watching him. He was open to cultural differences, and he didn't shy away from those who were considered ritually impure, lepers. Just as an aside, any kind of skin sore was often called leprosy. And these folks were isolated from their homes and communities. But I find it interesting that Jews and a Samaritan leper joined together in the request, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." You see, misery brought differences together. His disciples saw that. They saw that as they journeyed with him. They saw how he responded. They also noticed his compassion for an impure, isolated, contagious group who were both Jews and foreigners alike. Now, there was a powerful lesson. He was moving outside the accepted norms of the day on many levels. And his disciples saw that behavior as well. He sent the lepers to their religious leaders to witness their cleansing. One turned around and came back to thank him. And it wasn't a member of the chosen group. It was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, well, where are the other nine? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks? And his disciples saw all of this as well, and the respect that Jesus gave to the outsider. They were learning from their rabbi. Now, Jesus and his disciples were also aware of their own sacred books, which tell the story you heard today in the first reading. Where, the authors of the book I'm reading said, where did the rabbis develop their ideas of discipleship? They found it in Scripture, especially in the lives of the two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha. It is the prophet Elijah in our first reading who taught the same openness to foreigners that Jesus taught in the gospel. In the first reading, Naaman, a commander of a pagan king, came to Elijah for a curing of his leprosy, and it was given. Jesus must have heard this story from his sacred books over and over in the synagogue and at the feet of his parents. He learned, and as an adult, he shared that very same lesson with his own community and his own followers. So the question is, how about you and me? From whom are we learning these days? Where can we go for truth and facts? Who are the men and women in our lives who have taught us the wonderful lessons of kindness and love? Imagine yourselves in Jesus' company in this gospel. His disciples must have been stunned by the whole event. First, he was too close to lepers. Then to hear Jesus say, well, go and show yourself to the priest. They didn't know the lepers were healed. It happened on the way. And then they saw one come back. But he wasn't one of their own. Did this ancient story they learned at their father and mother's knee, the story about Naaman, a story come back to them in their memory, and were they looking at the modern version of the pagan Naaman from their own sacred texts, a story that was being made real for them in their own day and time? And so we understand from Jewish life that Jesus' disciples were learning as they walked with him and they accompanied him on the journey. I think the readings this weekend are inviting you and me to reflect on what we have learned and indeed shared in our own life journeys, how we've shared it with our children, our friends, our family. And like many of the rabbis of old, do those folks around us see us as men and women of compassion and understanding of others? Do they see in us respect for those who differ from us, or hear it expressed in our views and words and stories and actions? Jesus speaks to the one leper who returned to thank him. My guess is the other nine were grateful but failed to express it. The healed foreigner knelt at Jesus' feet in gratitude, and what did he say to him? Stand up, get up, and go. Your faith has saved you. This is a message for all of us these days. Stand up and go in support of truth and justice for the poor and kindness for those in trouble. It's humorous in a way, but sometimes situations unfold differently for us than we expected. In the longer text around Naaman's cure, he was stunned. The prophet said, "Go into the Jordan." And he felt, well, I have rivers bigger than that in my own country. But he did it, and he was healed. And then he wanted to give the prophet a big amount of money, and it wouldn't be accepted. Things didn't unfold on one level the way Naaman thought they would, nor do they for us. But it is not hard to imagine what the rabbi Jesus taught his disciples in this encounter and what they hopefully learned. Openness to suffering, reaching out across cultural barriers to serve, listening to the desires of others, teaching how to be and live. I hope that you and I, as our lives unfold, grow more deeply into that way of life. Amen. I have to tell you, I knew this lady way back at Westminster Presbyterian. We were both teenagers at the time. Yes. So, are there any prayers or concerns that you would like to share with the community?
Dave Barrett, it's usually not that I'm here without Cherie, but Cherie's been down all week with a back problem, so we're going for an MRI today. We've been through a bunch of testing this week. Our prayers for her as she goes through this time. She's usually not down, so this is a little different for me. Thanks for your prayers.
Kate Stanford, I've told you about the neighbor of mine that's battling cancer. She was just admitted yesterday to the hospital again. They are trying to fight the infection, but because without that being under control, there's no chemo, so the cancer is growing. So prayers for Annette, please.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Prayers for one of my best friends from high school, her family. Her son and significant other have been living with them in their basement, which has been working out great. Until this week when they got a call from CPS in Virginia that the significant other's three children, ages 15, 10, and 8, had been taken from the home with their father and will now be relocating up to Rochester and living with them. So it'll be a good situation for the boys, but just a overall transition for the household. So prayers for them.
Linda Sidori, I have a prayer of joy. My son and his wife had a baby this week. It's a very healthy baby, and we're thankful to God for that.
Janice Bilalovic, I have both a concern and a joy. My concern is a former neighbor and very good friend of mine is going in for surgery on Tuesday. It's cancerous, but they expect good prognosis for that. The joy is my oldest granddaughter is turning 30, and I'm leaving next week to go for a surprise birthday party in Illinois.
Tom Ward, I have a few concerns. I have a whole list here. First of all, he'll kill me for saying this, but prayers for our Pastor Emeritus, Bob Kaiser, who's been feeling a little bit under the weather about the last month or so, and he had some tests this week. Haven't heard the results, but hopefully they'll find the source of the problem. And prayers for a friend of mine who lost his wife a couple weeks ago, George Wonder, unexpectedly at 77, and we're going to miss her, Carol. Also, prayers for joy that Irene and I got back from a two-week vacation. We were in New Mexico and happened to get together with some of our friends from Guatemala. And so it was a nice reunion. We all went out for dinner and got caught up on things going on down there with our mission in Rabinal. Just prayers worldwide for the Kurds, for what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Yemen, prayers for the people of Japan, and prayers for the people in California fleeing from the wildfires.
Good morning, Barb Snaith. A couple things. I'd like prayers for my best friend Kathy's husband, Jim. She has MS and has dealt with that, but her husband's had a lot of health issues and has been in and out of the hospital with low potassium, and he just needs a lot of prayers. And a joy of what you just said, I went to Westminster as a kid and grew up in that whole area and am going on a 19th ward tour of the houses, so good for Westminster. I have a lot of fond memories there. My parents got married there, too. But I wasn't there for that.
Adam Switzer. I just like the prayers for a friend of mine I went to school with. As you guys know, that officer, RPD officer who was brutally stabbed last weekend, he's still critically in the hospital. He's probably not going to have vision in his eye that he was stabbed in, so He's hanging in there, but the family can really use a lot of prayers right now. And so I just ask prayers for the whole family and my friend as they go through this difficult time. Thank you.
Good morning, Eric Vail. Previously, I've asked you to pray for my younger brother, Scott, who was diagnosed with black mold disease. Since then, it's only got progressively worse. I just talked to him yesterday. Not only does he have black mold disease, which is somewhat under control, but now he's been diagnosed with mononucleosis, Lyme disease, and listeria. So he needs all of your prayers, so if you would please, I would so much appreciate that. So thank you.
Andrea Unson, prayers for my dear friend Renee. She lost her dad on Friday. So prayers for her and her friend, and for her family.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Well, Lord, we place all these cares and concerns in your hands. We realize that while we are original blessings, we also are limited. Bless all those who are ill, those who have passed on to be with you. Bless our families, those we love. And thank you to this wonderful community, and encourage and help them as they move into big decisions for their future. Let us join in the prayer that Christian men and women all over the world are saying today in different languages, different cultures, different geographies. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
And at this time, if we could share our blessings that have been bestowed on us and take it up in our offering. Thank you. On the way here, I was coming in from Wayne County. and I just pass orchard after orchard, and the trees are just so red and heavy, and the branches are almost on the ground, and fields of pumpkins and squash, and farmers market every mile along the way. And in this time of abundance, I pray that we will show gratitude and not take this abundance for granted, but share this abundance with those who may not have as much as we do. Thank you.
Good and gracious God, bless this community, bless those who are struggling, bless those who are experiencing great joy. May God, our loving Creator, Jesus, our brother and teacher, and the Holy Spirit, the source of energy and passion in our lives, be with all of you until we meet again. Amen.